Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The first thing I want to talk about is, of course, over the week, in the last week or so, there's been protests outside the National Maternity Hospital. The Minister for Health, Simon Harris, has said he is committed to implementing an exclusion zone outside maternity hospitals and will hold cross-party meetings this month to discuss it. He was responding to a video that circulated on social media on the 1st of January, which purported to show dozens of anti-abortion protesters outside the National Maternity Hospital in Holles Street. Now, I don't know whether you've seen the video or not. They don't seem to be doing any harm. Well, apart from the insensitivity of it that people believe. It depends on what side of the fence you're on. And even though in the last referendum, or the referendum on abortion, 67% of people voted for choice, a lot of those people still don't necessarily agree with abortion. They did it to give other women a choice to have an abortion. So it is still an issue morally which divides the nation, I would imagine, in two. Literally in two. It's probably 50-50 of those who believe it's morally right and those who believe it's morally wrong. And I think the pro-life people that were outside the hospital probably had the best intentions in the world. They seem to be quiet enough in the video. They don't seem to be making an awful lot of a racket. But those who would be pro-choice and very staunchly pro-choice believe it's completely insensitive. Now, in a tweet, Mr. Harris said he was appalled and that has been engaging with the Attorney General, the Gardaí and service providers about how fast he can introduce exclusion zones. Abortion services have been provided through GPs, family planning services, maternity units and hospitals across the country since the legislation was passed literally just over a year ago. And there were 12,080 calls between January and the end of November to the HSE free phone line for people seeking information about unplanned pregnancies. Figures also show that over 331,000 people visited the My Options website between January and December 2019. To be honest with you, that doesn't mean a huge amount. That's just people probably curious looking at the website for different bits of information or advice. But tonight I want to talk about the exclusion zones and ask you if you think they should be introduced. Now, some people believe that refusing someone the right to protest would be completely unjustified and that it would be unconstitutional, that everybody has a democratic right to peaceful protest. Others, however, believe that due to the sensitive nature of fetal abnormalities and abortion, that protecting outside a maternity hospital is unnecessary. They believe that it is wrong on every single level. And parents who may be leaving that hospital could be getting extremely sad news. And that's why they believe it's insensitive. Because it's not always women going into a maternity hospital to have an abortion. The majority of women going into a maternity hospital are having a pregnancy and having a baby. Unfortunately, some of those will come out with bad news. Many of those women or families that go in to have a baby, unfortunately, the baby may not live. Or they may have a fetal abnormality, and that would be very insensitive to see people outside, you know, chanting, I don't know, whatever it is they chant at these particular types of protests. So I want to know if you believe it's acceptable to protest outside a maternity hospital. Now, the people who do it will argue that this is the best place to protest. Because I suppose if you were going to protest, say, Apple, for example, I just said Apple because I have an iPhone in front of me. If you're going to protest outside Apple, well, you're not going to go outside a Samsung company, are you? Or, you know, a Samsung factory. You're going to protest outside an Apple store. Or if you're going to protest outside, you know, any business, you will protest outside that particular business's store. So I suppose the reason they will protest outside a hospital is because that's where abortions happen, more so than the average, you know. Well, they have done GP's offices, but generally speaking, it's been outside hospitals. Now, the individuals responsible for the protests or organised and made those protests is the Lady of Lourdes Protectors. And Charles, if, by the way, if you want to give me a call, the question I'm asking tonight is, do you think exclusion zones should be introduced to stop people protesting, let's say, an exclusion zone of a 1 mile radius outside a maternity hospital? That's just an example, by the way. Do you believe that people should be banned from protesting outside maternity hospitals? Yes, you believe they should, or no, you believe they shouldn't. Text or WhatsApp right now on 087-188-0008. Now, Charles Byrne is from our Lady of Lourdes Protectors, and he's part of the protest that you may have seen on social media. Charles, good evening to you. How are you doing?
Hey, Noel. How are you doing?
Charles, do you mind if I read this from your Facebook page, first of all, to give people a gist of what you're at?
Of course.
All right, okay. Okay, we pray for those who have been sacrificed to the pagan, selfish laws that now reign in Ireland. Babies are made in the image of like and the likeness of God and are not commodities to be destroyed at an adult's whim. The rosary for the kingship of Christ over Ireland and the reparation of the mortal sin of abortion continues every Saturday at 7 o'clock outside the National Maternity Hospital, Holles Street, Dublin 2. We pray for the restoration of the law of God over Ireland and the end to abortion, what Pope Pius called the direct murder of the innocent. Publicly praying the rosary is a proclamation of the kingship of Christ over society. We pray for Christians' laws because Christ is the law giver, not man. In the words of St. Paul, I'm not going to read out the next bit because I can't pronounce it, but however, he must reign. The small baby-sized coffin, of course, was placed on the footpath representing the thousands of babies denied a dignified burial, murdered in Holles Street and across Ireland, and flushed down toilets as recommended by the HSE since January this year. Public sin requires public reparation. Join us every Saturday at 7 o'clock outside the National Maternity Hospital. And by the way, just in case anyone has an issue with the bit that you said about flush down the toilet, that was actually from their own website, isn't it? They recommend that you flush it down the toilet if you happen to have an abortion at home. So that was from their own website. Charles, I did see the video. I saw there was no badness in it. There didn't seem to be anybody shouting, you know, the usual chanting of murderer or anything like that. Mm. It seemed to be peaceful enough. But what do you think of the minister's reaction to it? Simon Harris is appalled, he said, and he is talking to the Attorney General, the Gardaí and service providers on how to introduce exclusion zones. How do you feel about that?
Look, this is manufactured outrage. I wouldn't be surprised if this was cooked up in some sort of think tank or something. Some sort of spin doctor told them, look, maybe just say this. Or you couldn't trust anything, if you ask me, anything that this minister says. Mm-hmm. If you saw this prayer vigil, and it was a prayer vigil, it was very, very quiet. We sang some Christmas carols, the rosary was said, and a few, like the Salve Regina, a few parts were sang in Latin, and really the effort really was to remember all the innocent children who lost their lives in 2019 for no good reason at the behest of the state, which is an absolute scandal in our eyes. In reality, it's an absolute scandal.
But it is democracy. You have to accept that, Charles.
But see, people have to understand, what does democracy mean? What's the end of democracy?
Well, I mean, hang on, Charles. If 67% of the population had voted against abortion, you'd have been quite happy with that result and you would have accepted democracy.
But that's in line with justice. I mean, we cannot introduce unjust laws.
In your opinion,
this is a very ancient concept of law. An unjust law is no law. This has been the foundation of our law, our justice system for centuries, for millennia. You can't just introduce laws, and this is the corruption.
But you're talking about laws of morality, and I'm not going to disagree with you, Charles.
But this goes through every single facet of this is why people see the breakdown of a society, because these politicians have no interest in justice, no interest in the people, really. They're just on the take. They want to get power. They want to get influence. They're out there to basically for their own interests and their friends' interests.
Well, there's nobody denying the politicians are self-serving.
But hang on, Charles.
I mean, there has been extreme cases around the world. And before the abortion referendum, we talked about some of the most extreme cases where a 12-year-old girl, for example, in Brazil got pregnant and wanted to have an abortion because she couldn't physically have babies and they wouldn't allow her. They actually excommunicated the doctors and her mother for allowing her to have the abortion. So there was those extreme cases. And I'm not going to use the red herrings tonight of rape and fatal feet and fatal abnormality. And I accept that 98% of abortions happen because it doesn't suit somebody or for economic reasons or whatever it is. And I understand
that. And the taxpayer is all paying for that.
And possibly many of those are unnecessary. Absolutely. Yeah. But in saying that, the whole idea of the referendum was it was a democratic vote for women to have that choice. Now, I, you know, personally wouldn't be having an abortion if I was a woman. That would be my choice. But should another woman not have that right to have an abortion just because she morally believes something different to you?
See, it's all about the thing, the idea of the innocent. Like, if you have a playground, I know a lot of people are bullied, and it's a horrible thing, and, you know, one child is picked out, and then, you know, if nobody stands up for that child, then it's on its own.
But and, you're referring to it as a child.
Right to bully that child.
But you're referring to it as a child.
But we know that no parent has a right to abuse that child.
Okay, but you're using the word child.
Why would they have child. A right to kill
the
child?
But, like, Charles, I accept your use of the word child. But yeah. There are many people, when they talk about abortion, use the word fetus, group of cells. They don't consider it a child.
That's very simple, but I mean, that's just a dehumanization effect. Any mass murderer in history, they would dehumanize their victim. That's part of the thing.
Are you saying abortion is mass murder?
It is mass murder, absolutely, because every single human being has an inherent dignity and it ought to be respected and not assaulted in such a violent manner.
Okay, let me get to the protest itself, right? At the protest itself, and admittedly, looking at the videos, I didn't see anything untoward going on. I have seen protests of pro-life before, extreme pro-life, you know, have shouted at people and called them murderers and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't see any of that.
But in saying that,
the protest itself by many people was deemed as insensitive, because you would accept that there are women who are going into hospital who think, like you, Charles, who may be religious as well, and want to go in, are quite happy to have a nice pregnancy and unfortunately get very bad news and are coming out of that hospital after getting very bad news. To them, that might seem insensitive that you're out there, you know, campaigning and protesting outside.
Well, can I say, for starters, we it's a vigil, a prayer vigil, and it's not in the main entrance, so we don't actually get that many people coming from the hospital, because it's on the other side. So we're on the door that's not opened, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's on not a busy time. It's on a Saturday evening when there's very little traffic. It's not meant to be, if you like, confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
We've got very little feedback from people. It really is a very quiet time. I can understand in another protest that people get angry. I mean, this is when you really think about what's going on in abortion, why aren't we all angry? But we do make an effort to try to be very, if you like, quiet about this, because we believe that it's time now to turn to God. It's gone past. And, you know, in Ireland, we've this, I don't know, we all say we're religious, but if you say...
Well, we don't all say we're religious. Only about 50% of the population claims to be religious.
It's a culture of religiosity, but then God means nothing, really, when it comes down to it.
But Charles, God means nothing to a lot of people, because a lot of people don't believe in God. You believe in God, and I respect that. I don't have to respect God, because I'm an atheist, so I don't have to...
This is the different... Well, we could have a long conversation.
Yeah, but okay, but the point is, you're basing your views on this on the word of God. Now, you know, I may necessarily not agree with abortion, but
I can argue this from any perspective.
But I don't believe in God.
Is the most logical one, because that's where we're coming from, but... You can argue this from a very simple moral perspective too. You know, the innocent deserve to be protected, especially the vulnerable. Like, every single person knows that in their heart that the small children, they must be protected. Like, it's our very duty.
And do you have, I don't know, Charles, your personal circumstances. You don't have to share them if you don't want to. Are you married with children?
I'm not, no.
Okay, do you have children at all? No.
No.
Okay. No, I'm just curious that if you did and you had a daughter that came to you, you know, and wanted an abortion or said she wants to make that choice, would you be supportive in any shape or form?
I would hope that I taught my daughter in such a way that she realised that that's not an answer. I know people are in difficult circumstances and they feel like this is going to be quick and easy and it's going to be, no one will know about it. But we know, I mean, unfortunately, when we do the wrong thing, you carry the weight of that sin around with you, and you can't get peace. And you know, I don't want that for anyone. It's a false solution. It's something that you think that will take care of it. But unfortunately, you know, a lot of women suffer very badly for the rest of their lives. And I would ask any woman that's feeling that way to turn to God and
I have no doubt there are many, but Charles, I have no doubt that many women do regret having an abortion, but equally I have spoken and interviewed many women who didn't regret it and believed it was the best decision they ever made in their lives.
Well, with all respect, these women, I've met these women and I can see the pain in their eyes. I met them during the referendum. One woman was very, very viciously pro-abortion, and she actually wept slightly when I told her, like when she confronted that she had like done this, and And I told her there was a way back, that she didn't have to hold on to that. And she actually shed a tear and she turned away. But I could see that there was pain there. You know, if we have to admit that every single one of us makes mistakes, there's not one, I've never met a person that said, you know, I've never made a mistake. You know, we all make mistakes. And just to say, look, I've made a mistake and that's the past. And I ask God, just forgive me and go forward. But we can't say that that's right and a good thing.
But getting back to Simon Harris's decision, he's now, now he obviously has a constitutional issue with this, and that's why he has to engage with the Attorney General, because it is in the Constitution that you do have a right to protest. Yeah. There's nowhere in the Constitution that says that we can have exclusion zones. So I don't know whether that will have to be a constitutional change or there can be a workaround in the Senate and change the law. But how would you feel if, for example, tomorrow they said, well, as in from March the 1st, you're not allowed to protest within a 1 mile radius of a maternity hospital?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past this government, really. I mean, what they're trying to do is ban prayer as well, because it's public prayer. What are they going to do? Arrest people for saying Hail Marys?
Well, it's a bit more than public prayer.
We've had that in Ireland before. It was called the penal laws. You know, I think that's what they want to bring back.
What did your posters say? The posters, because I couldn't see them on the video. The posters that some people were holding. What did they say?
Well, obviously, the one that was, if you like, provocative, that seemed to drive the pro-aborts mad, was "Babies are God's property." I think that particularly seemed to hit some nerve. And other posters were, for instance, "Imperfect people are precious too." In other words, in that hospital, we know that they abort babies because they're not perfect, because they have abnormalities, they say. And we believe, and it's horrific, this aborting babies because they've Down syndrome. This is eugenics.
Well, stay there for a second. Please stay with me, Charles. Charles is one of the people who organised the protest, Charles Byrne. He's from Our Lady of Lourdes Protectors. And if you've seen the protests online, I'm sure you've seen them with the videos on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, outside the National Maternity Hospital. Andy, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Andy?
Good evening, Ralph.
That's
about
things. Andy, look, I believe in everyone's right to protest as long as it's done, you know, in a sensitive way. I did see the video. There's nobody shouting and roaring. They're saying a few prayers. They don't agree with abortion. Is that their right to do that?
Everybody has a right to protest now, but I think what the point we're discussing here is, as I think the two words we used, sort of insensitive and the sort of behaviour of humanity. And, you know, we had the referendum, whether people like it or not. Unfortunately, it's like Brexit. I might not like it, but it's gone through. And you have to sort of reconcile yourself to the fact that there's a certain percentage of people in society that want that. So we have to sort of look at diplomatic and let's say, you know.
But it's easy to say that, because in the referendum, if it had gone the other way, I guarantee you pro-choice people wouldn't have sat on their laurels. They would be demanding another referendum within 2 years.
Well, I think basically we've progressed as a society now. We've moved away from the Catholic guilt that, you know, Charles and his gang are trying to sort of push on people. You know, abortion, nobody says abortion is a good thing. It's all about freedom of choice. And, you know, women did not have the freedom of choice. And that's what the sort of, let's say, pro-abortion sort of argument was about. It's about giving people freedom of choice in difficult circumstances. So, you know, when you're talking about protecting the weak, you know, people that have abortions, you know, okay, fine, there's certain people that use it as a contraceptive, and that's a disgrace. But, you know, the vast majority, it's a difficult decision to come to, you know, and people are, let's say, psychologically vulnerable, and to have people sort of ganging up with their little signs and symbols and, you know, try to stuff it and send people on a guilt trip. To me, you know, I have zero tolerance for it.
Well, let me ask Charles that. Charles, are you trying to? I mean, the suggestion is by many people, not just Andy, has said this. People on Twitter and Facebook is that, you know, you're trying to make women feel guilty who may be going in, who might be making a very difficult decision to have a termination.
Well, how do they know our intentions? Like, I mean, the mind readers.
Well, I think the symbols.
See, this is the thing about these laws. It's all about subjective. You know, they're intimidatory. Like they're trying to foisted these kind of laws on us. Now, it's very interesting what Andy says. He says that abortion is not a good thing. If abortion is not a good thing, that's a very interesting thing to say. It's not a good thing.
Okay, well, just say, okay, Andy, he said, and by your own admission, Andy, you said abortion is not a good thing.
So how bad is it? Very bad.
Because, unfortunately, some things in life require sort of difficult decisions, and often the hardest decision is the right decision. And that's, you know, I've seen that on many occasions through life. And unfortunately, you know, if somebody is pregnant and they don't feel, for whatever their reason and their choice, their own personal choice, not your choice, and it's not my choice, it's their choice, and that's the point of this. It's about letting people go on and make their choice.
Well, then should Charles not equally have that choice to protest and be religious? I mean, I don't have respect for God. I have respect for Charles' belief in God, but I don't believe in God. But I believe he has a right to believe in God. What?
Absolutely, but protest. But why are you trying to sort of put vulnerable people? People are going through this. I mean, I think one point has been made out that there's plenty of women going in to sort of have normal births. And they've got these people there. And you don't know what people have been through before they go into hospital. They may have had stillbirths. And for you to sort of have, and I haven't seen this video, I've only heard descriptions of it, but to have coffins, little white coffins and crosses, I mean, it's appalling. It's absolutely appalling.
Well, let him respond to that. In fairness, Charles, you know, I know you're saying you're on the other side of the other door, not the main door as people go in, but you are quite visible. With the little white coffins and the crosses and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, but like...
Is that not insensitive? I mean, you know, you could imagine... Hang on, Charles. By your own admission, you're not married and you don't have a relationship as such at the moment, right? Or whatever, right? Do you have a relationship? Sorry, do you?
I'm not going to point to my personal life online, will I?
But I think it's all relevant. The point is that if you were expecting a baby with your missus or whatever it is, or whatever your relationship happens to be, and, you know, and unfortunately you were given bad news, that's the last thing you want to see is a little white coffin on the ground outside a maternity hospital, isn't it?
Well, look at these babies that have been aborted. They don't get any sort of burial. Nobody remembers.
So you don't.
It's just completely forgotten. See, this is the thing. If we forget those children, then it's all logical.
No, that's what
we shouldn't.
You want to call them children?
Out of sight.
Hang on, Andy. Let him finish. Andy.
But like, it's this is the bizarre thing. Like, have you just forgotten like what we're talking about? We're talking about dismembering little children, like, and putting them up and putting them into a bin, throwing them away. Like, what is it? Have we lost our minds? Like, are we insane?
Hang on, Charles. Sorry, Andy, go ahead.
It's just you're trying to depict like the Texas Chainsaw.
Hang on, Charles. Charles, I can only hear one person at a time. Just let Andy respond to what you said. Andy, in relation to what Charles obviously believes, as a pro-life person, he believes that we're dismembering little children.
Well, I can show you pictures.
Trying to create this sort of visual sort of, you know, perception of like somebody running into a kindergarten with a chainsaw, you know, and that's not what it's about.
But it is to many people who are pro-life, Andy.
Yes, but that's because that we're talking about children that have been born, you know.
With respect, Andy, I'm sure you've seen pictures of abortions. I don't want to graphically go into it,
Do you know what I saw? I saw it on Grafton Street about 20 fucking years ago with you know, the anti-abortionist lobby stuffing it in the general public and children's face. It's disgraceful.
You'd rather not
to be shown
that.
Yeah, to children. Have you no shame? Have you no shame where it comes to your like moral fucking high ground?
Do you not understand
that you have to stop
a little child is told you're not welcome in this world. You know, it's your time to be born, but you know what? You're not going to get to be born because you know what? We don't need you in this world. That's what we say in abortion. We say, you know what? From the dawn of creation to now, this is your time to be born.
I've never heard such shite in my life.
You're not coming
into
this world because we say no to you. And then,
you know what?
So go ahead, Andy.
I just think I've never heard so much fucking rubbish in my life. I mean, you're talking about children as if they're sort of running around in fucking nappies. You know, talking about pre-birth, you know, cells. That depending on where
you're dehumanizing
them. Life,
see, it's
not dehumanizing. And don't try and patronize people by saying,
hang on, Charles,
we
let
are
Andy finish.
Dehumanizing people. Because we all know that all fucking governments dehumanize people. Just look what's happening in Iran. Yes, of course. Nothing justifies it.
Stalin said,
if people
you know,
have
a million,
the right.
It's a million,
the right.
A million murders is a statistic, and one is a tragedy. You know, they try to talk about
Stalin
as if these children are are just nothing.
Yes, you want to call them children. I want to call them fetuses. You won't respect me.
Can I ask, Andy, when you use the, and I said this to Charles earlier on, obviously because he's pro-life, he refers to them as children, as unborn children, right?
Yeah, I call it a fetus.
You call it a fetus. So what, just give me, what is your definition of a fetus? Is a fetus, is it a living being?
Of course it's a living being. We've had... I forgot my school biology at this stage, but...
Is it sentient? Does it have feelings? Does it feel pain? There's been different theories about, the approach towards pain. And we allow abortion in this country now up to 12 weeks with no reasons, and you don't have to give any reasons, up to 22 weeks in extreme circumstances.
I'm not a fucking medic. I'm not a biologist that knows at what point consciousness. It doesn't. What matters is the woman, the mother, the person that's carrying that child or fetus has the right to be protected by society from people who want to stuff their religious views and guilt trips on people that are in very difficult and vulnerable situations. Like, why can we not protect those people? We've passed a law to say that abortion is legal in certain circumstances. As I said, it's not a great thing. It's not great because people that go for abortions generally are not doing it, and they don't go, oh, yippee, I'm having an abortion. They go through difficult decisions, and it's a difficult process. And of course it's emotionally fucking upsetting for many people that have to go through it.
Why is it emotionally upsetting? If it's only a clump of cells, why would you be upset about a clump of cells?
Why would you be upset about that? Are you that stupid that you don't understand this? Really?
I'm asking you a question. Well, if it's only a clump of cells, if it's a baby, then you could be upset.
Patronising questions, which actually just reflects your complete lack of understanding of what the individual goes through. And it's the individual that needs to be protected from people like you. And that's why people like Simon Harris do need to say, actually, we can't have people like you protesting outside.
Okay, but getting to the protest, Andy, right? Getting to the idea of protesting. You don't agree with the protest, fair enough, right? Charles clearly
protest
does.
Protest somewhere else, away from the vulnerable.
Well, in their eyes, the idea of protesting outside a maternity hospital would be the idea when you protest anywhere, you would protest outside the source of where the problem happens to be. And in their eyes, that's where the problem happens to be, in a maternity hospital where the majority of abortions are actually taking place. So the point is, do you believe that Charles's constitutional right to protest should be taken away because we think it's insensitive?
I think it should be limited. I think it's protest. I think we have to take the bigger helicopter view here and look at what's, a certain small group of people or a large organisation, hospital, that is trying to deliver babies and perform abortions if needed and not have anybody around it, try to stuff their political views. What am I going to do, run up there with my fucking pro-choice banner?
Okay, just stay there for a second, and please take me Aoife too. I'm going to come to you in a second. I want to go to, hold on, I need to just switch you on there, Garrett. It's Garrett. Garrett, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Garrett?
Good enough yourself tonight, man.
Okay, Garrett, do you agree with exclusion zones?
I'll put it to you in this...
Are you on a speakerphone, Garrett, because you're very low?
I think my signal is also a bit low, unfortunately.
All right, go on. Speak a bit loud if you can. Okay, go on.
Yeah, you know what? Let me actually move to a part of the house where it's a bit less, more signal.
Okay, the signal is okay. It's just your voice is a bit low. But go ahead, Garrett. You're a Christian anyway. You believe in God.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm Christian myself. I do believe in God. I'm not Catholic, but I am Christian. And my opinions upon this are the exclusion zone specifically. All right, I would say if you are going to have a protest where you're actually going to have visual effects like a coffin, I would say yes, that is not. Because I myself had a scenario where my older brothers, firstborn child passed away half an hour after birth, and they had to walk out of an hospital. And if they had to see that, I can just imagine how devastated they would be.
So as a Christian, what you're saying is that we shouldn't judge people.
100%. I fully agree with that. Because one of the main parts of Christianity, which I was taught, is you don't judge other people. Pronounce your faith, you try and get other people to believe in the same faith as you, because Christianity, in my opinion, is a proper faith,
Mm-hmm.
But you do not force it upon people, because that is not the way of the Christian. And you also do not judge other people for their faith, because That is the way that I was taught.
Well, what do you say to Charles, who's on the air, who organises these protests? He's a Christian too, and he believes he's doing the work of God, I suppose.
No, look, fair enough. If he's doing the work of God, by all means. But I do not think that having a visual effect like a coffin lying on the streets in front of a hospital where people are coming out and maybe have lost their child the same way that my brother has lost his just after birth, or even fatal abnormality, as we said before. Mm. You know, I don't think that that is right. In the sense that if you are really Christian and you have your morals and that value set up, you will respect other people's privacy and decisions in life. Because that is one of the main things that I feel as a Christian, is that we have many faiths and many different religions around the world. And therefore, I might not understand theirs. But if you take the gist of most religions, it's a higher power and it's a belief in something else. Now, mine is Christianity. Somebody else's might be Judaism. That's their belief. See? I am not there to judge them upon what they believe.
Okay, let Charles respond to that. Charles, there's a fellow Christian who's not, he said he's not here to judge somebody else's decisions, whether he believes it's right or wrong. Having little coffins, particularly outside, you know, maternity hospital, is completely insensitive, and you're judging other people.
Janie Mackey could be on the other side, you know. I mean, look, the thing is this,
Well, it's not about sides, Charles, really, is it?
No.
Hang on, Andy. Let Charles respond.
We have several women on this prayer vigil, it's not a protest, who have lost babies, and they care deeply that they couldn't do anything to stop the loss.
Listen to what I said. You heard what Garrett said, that his
brother don't want to see innocent children being lost for
his brother's partner lost her baby, and you know that's the last thing she'd want to see coming out while she was devastated after losing a baby is a little coffin on the ground.
Well, we can see clearly that the people who are most affected by these coffins are the pro-abortion people. Because they know that we're associating the abortion issue with a dead child. And that's what it's all about.
That's
and
rubbish.
Holy Tree should be
the
place.
No, look, that is rubbish.
Fair enough.
It's so true. We've spoken.
Okay, let Garrett respond to that. Sorry, Garrett, go ahead.
Yeah, look, I'm against abortion myself. I would, if any other solution was there, I would agree with it.
We have to stand up for the innocent, and we have to say
if you're talking about the Catholic Church, you're talking about standing up for the innocent. You weren't standing up for the innocent many, many years ago when the Catholic Church was responsible for genocide.
Well, that's a big statement. We'd need a long show.
And the abuse of children, both sexually and physically.
I'm
just putting it to you straight, Charles. You know what I mean? If you're a defender of the Catholic Church and a defender of children at the same time, we also have to look back to history and how the Catholic Church have treated children.
Can I answer that properly?
Because it was just quite a statement. It is, yeah.
For starters, of course, people who follow Christ and who claim to be Catholics are hypocrites. Look at Judas. I mean, it's obvious that. Not everyone who says Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. He spoke about Pharisees, about people who were inwardly ravening wolves, and he said, beware of false shepherds. The Catholic Church is infiltrated at the moment by Freemasons, by KGB. That sounds crazy, but there is evidence for this.
Would you stop it?
Can see the fruits of
The KGB had nothing to do with the fact that the Catholic Church were involved in genocide in Rwanda. The KGB had nothing to do with the fact that the Catholic Church were involved with babies being buried in septic tanks in Galway, for God's sake.
The
only reason I threw that at you, you know, Charles, is because you're going on about the Catholic Church constantly and using them as some sort of battering ram, you know, in relation to, or some sort of defence for your protest, you know. And I'm not suggesting. I think the Catholic Church have obviously changed quite substantially in the last few years because they've been found out. But to use the Catholic Church as some sort of defence for it, I think is wrong.
Well, I just have to say, this is a long. We need hours to fully discuss.
Yeah, well, okay.
Because the thing is that people's perception of the Catholic Church is like Father Ted, like basically, and that's a joke.
I think Father Ted was probably a closer to depiction of the Catholic Church. Really, it probably was quite real.
Well, look at the missionaries of old. Look at during the penal times where people sacrificed everything rather than denounce their faith. And people get handed on that faith. And that was a sincere...
And have you ever condemned the Catholic Church?
Sorry?
Do you ever condemn the Catholic Church?
I don't condemn the church itself, because there's a difference between the church and church
men. Well, the priests and bishops and the messengers of God, do you ever condemn them?
Of course. I don't know, maybe there's 11 Judases now and one like who's not Judas. But like, there are good bishops and priests. No, okay. They're very, very...
Can I just say one thing? But yeah. I have to go.
Yeah, sorry, Andy. Go ahead, Andy. Yeah.
Basically, what this man is sort of saying...
Charles.
Is reiterating the sort of the Catholic control, the organisation that controlled Ireland for so long, and it appears to me that he doesn't want their grip to loosen over the control that, you know, the Catholic Church has over the population, and especially women, you know, and the reality is, times have moved on, you know, he can use whatever sort of language he wants about children as opposed to fetuses, but, you know, women that are going in these very difficult circumstances need protecting from people like him.
Well, okay. Well, hang on, all of you, for a second. Thank you very much, Andy. I know you have to go there. I want to go to Aoife. Just stay there, Garrett, please, as well. Aoife, you're on Classic Kids. Aoife, you support Charles and you support his right to protest.
Yes, I do. And what's more, I made a big effort to attend his vigil, and I attend vigils outside GP clinics in the Fingal area.
Okay. You've heard Garrett, who was on there a few minutes ago, who is a Christian himself, but believes that, you know, God wouldn't want you to judge people either. And these protests are seen by many members of the public as insensitive.
Well, that's something I'd like to say, because when I hear all this word of being judgmental, it's completely the opposite. In fact, when we organise our vigils, they're peaceful, they're prayerful. We're not there to judge, because we value everybody's soul, from the abortionist, the little baby, the mother, to the husband, the father.
But some people do judge. I've seen some of the posters where they say abortion is murder and stuff like that.
Or nothing like that. You probably haven't even seen them. One of them, I'd say one of the strongest ones would be addressed to the doctor saying, first, do no harm to me and this little baby. You know, a graphic rather than an actual picture of a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to draw attention to the fact that GPs were always life-affirming, life-preserving. But yet, Simon Harris and friends have turned some of them. At least 10% of our GPs have signed up to this.
But Simon Harris and co didn't do it. Yes, they promoted it, but it was the people. It was democracy did it.
You know, like, Niall, you were very fair. I've always said this to people. You have let us talk about this on air, like I'm here now. In RTE, News Talk FM, Cork Examiner, all those, we had absolutely no proper discussion. It was completely one-sided. I mean, it's just incredibly one-sided, and people were getting one message all the time, and we just couldn't break through the noise. But, you know, this is what I wanted to tell people, that, you know, that doctor gets €450 for every baby aborted. It's taxpayers who pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are...
I'm not disagreeing with you, and I think, you know, free contraception would have been a better discussion to have 2 years ago first, before we talked about a referendum. And that would maybe have, you know, solved a few problems. Certainly it may have reduced the amount of, or the need for many abortions. I understand that. But what Garrett is saying is, it's a done deal. He voted no. He doesn't agree with it, but he's not going to stand outside, you know, and insult other people who did.
Well,
hang on, Aoife, just so let Garrett respond to that, please.
Well, like Niall says there, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it at all. But at the end of the day, a choice was made. A vote was cast. And therefore, as like I said before, what I was taught as a Christian by my dad was that you respect other people's choices and you do not judge them. For if you are judging, you will be judged.
Yeah, but you're allowed to judge the actions, Garrett. It's not the person. Because I don't know why that person is in that situation, and I don't try to guess.
Well,
and I don't
One at a time. Sorry, Garrett, just let her finish. Let her finish.
I'm one of my best friends, and she doesn't mind me saying this. She's from the Ukraine, and she had 9 abortions, and she's very, very, you know, every day, she's kind of...
Can you move your head slightly, because we're losing you very, very slightly there, please.
Basically, I mean, one of my best friends has had many abortions, so if I was a judgmental person, I wouldn't be her friend. You know, just in basic terms, it's being a real Catholic is about loving others, but not. We can't respect abortion. We can't, because that goes against everything God is about. He created us. He has given us life, and He really is the only one who can take it away. And I think where we should be focusing on is supporting the people, the women who are in trouble and who want to keep their babies. you have to remember that many of these women are coerced.
And well, yeah, but many may be coerced. I mean, they may be coerced by a partner or by a mother or a father or whatever. But many are not our friends, but many are not coerced.
Yeah, and that's probably...
They make that decision because I don't want to come across even that we're saying that women are stupid and can't make decisions. You know, because, you know...
Like, I know myself, I've had five children. I know myself, the initial stages of the pregnancy were always the worst. I was very hormonal. It was, you know, you're very up and down. And I can imagine if you're in any way of, you know... situation that isn't ideal, but you would be very inclined to consider it.
And by the way, that this is the kind of discussion that we would have had before the referendum, and it's a very credible discussion, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying, Eva. I'm not disagreeing with everything you're saying. We may have a little debate about certain parts of it, aspects of it, but the point of the matter now is democracy has, you know, shown its hand. 67% of the population, and whether you agree that the referendum was fair or not, which many aspects of it probably weren't, but look, it's a done deal, so to speak. And, you know, nobody's saying that Charles doesn't have a right to hold an opinion, or nor are we saying you don't have a right to hold an opinion. You don't ever have to have an abortion if you don't want to. But to protest outside a hospital is really what we're focusing on. And the minister wants to bring in these exclusion zones, which some people say is unconstitutional.
Well, first of all, I don't call it a protest. It's a vigil.
But it's the same thing, isn't it, really?
Well, not really, because we're not saying...
Well, that's what people see it as, Aoife. You know, you might not call it a protest.
But if they got to know us, and as we're talking here, that our aim isn't to be horrible people. We just, it needs to be highlighted. It, you know, these hospitals were used for giving birth. And unfortunately, in some cases, natural death and miscarriages and so on, very sad situations. But they never before were killing places where you kill. I mean, this is completely absurd. You know, even in other places.
Well, it's absurd in your view, and I understand that because you're pro-life. But you have to understand from the other side of the coin, somebody who's pro-choice, it's not absurd. That's the way they feel.
And we would try to reach out to them and explain that, you know, every life is precious and that takes a lot of work and all that. But, you know, there is an element of trying to give a bit of dignity back to the child.
But is it dignified to be outside a hospital with little white coffins? Is that dignified?
Well,
hang on. Let Gareth respond to that. Gareth, you don't believe it's dignified, obviously.
No. The reason why I say that I don't think that is dignified, in the sense that she earlier said, you do not know what those people have gone through. All right? You are not sure. So you are not judging the person, perhaps. You are judging the situation. But it is insensitive to assume that everybody that walks through that door has gone there for that reason. And that's basically what you're doing.
But Gareth, so
you have people coming out of that hospital that have not gone in for that reason, and they see it as insensitive. And I can understand that.
I understand that, and nobody wants that. But at the end of the day, people are being killed, and you have to weigh that up and say...
But that's it. But again, Aoife, you're saying people are being killed. I'm not disagreeing or agreeing with you, right? Because I'm trying to sit on the fence here in some sense. But what I'm saying is a lot of people don't use that wording. That would be the wording of somebody from pro-life. You know, people are being killed, somebody's being murdered, whatever wording you want to use yourself. But other people who are pro-choice will say, no, a fetus is being removed. So it's different moral views. There's no law says you have to have morals.
Well, I believe it's an unjust law, and really and truly, I'm kind of horrified at the Irish people that they've lost their sense of, you know, the unborn child as being an important person. I mean, Ireland was always a place of welcome, and this has become one of the coldest countries in the world, you know, and I would hope that more pro-life people will come out, bear witness to the unborn child, and, you know, in a sensitive way, in a prayerful way, in a peaceful way. And as Commissioner Drew Harris has said, we're causing no trouble.
Okay, well, we'll stay there for a second, but let me go to Karen just before I finish this off. Karen, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Karen?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good, Karen. You've been listening to Charles earlier on, who organises these protests on a Saturday, or vigils, sorry, these vigils on a Saturday. And obviously, Aoife agrees, and she has attended them. Do you think they're fair?
Fair. Well, I suppose fair doesn't come into it because it's up to each individual to decide what's fair. Who can decide what's fair? My point is that Simon Harris should have known this was going to happen. And the abortions should never have been taken place in maternity hospitals. He should have had abortion clinics like they do in most countries. And he knows damn well that in other countries, these protests take place all the time. So
the fear is when you put it into the hands of a private clinic like Mary Stopes in the UK, it becomes an industry. And, you know, it's bad enough, you know, for people who are pro-life, it's bad enough that it's happening in hospitals or GP's offices. But if you make it private or put it into the hands of private operators, then it becomes an industry. And that's even worse again, I would imagine,
but
if you're pro-life.
It is an industry now. It is an industry. Doctors are being given €450 per abortion. They are being enticed by money. That's an industry. So straight away, that is already an industry. They could have had HSE-run clinics, you know, one or two in every county, whatever way they wanted to do it. All these things are possible. Run by the HSE, and then these protests could have taken place. Nobody would have been offended. End of.
Well, I'm sure some people still would be offended, people who are making difficult decisions.
Women who are going in to have
abortions,
or miscarrying, or who have lost a baby, or whatever. So, you know, when you're going into an abortion clinic, you're going for one thing. So it would have taken that bit out of it. I mean, Simon Harris, well, who knows with him, for God's sake. But he, you know, people, the dozen streets knew protests were going to happen. It happens everywhere. So this should have been thought of beforehand. And, you know, as I say, it should have been, they should have just opened clinics.
I'm assuming you voted no, by the way, in the referendum.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and well, have you attended any of the protests or vigils?
No,
you haven't. And would you attend? Is it something that you would consider?
They seem to be very Catholic. I'm not Catholic.
Okay.
So, that would be probably my, well, first reason, second reason. I think they're doing themselves and the pro-life crowd a disservice, to be honest. I think there are other ways of doing this, of getting the word out. And nobody can stop a peace of protest. Why don't they go up O'Connell Street where there's thousands of people every day? Thousands of people, and you can teach people then and actually show them what is happening.
Can I respond to that? No.
Yeah, you can, Charles. Yeah.
Yeah, no, basically it's a vigil. So, like, you know, if someone got killed on a spot, you know, you see flowers are placed on that spot. We go outside the place where an injustice has happened. So inside the hospital, it looks like...
No. I accept so the reasons. I must doubt, Charles. I accept the reasons why you do it outside the hospital.
So that's why we do it there.
Yeah, and I accept...
And we do believe
okay,
that.
Okay, but in saying that, it's not like a normal protest or vigil outside a supermarket or outside, I don't know, your local Tesco's if you're not happy. This is something which is a very sensitive issue.
I know, but can I just say, we believe that by praying to God, and you might think this is crazy, but if you don't believe in God, but...
I respect your right to believe in God. I don't believe in God.
God's time, he acts, and he will hear these prayers, and these are going to work, and Simon Harris is on the way to hell.
I mean, I'm sure you were praying like mad before the referendum, and that didn't work, you know what I mean?
Simon Harris has sold his soul to the devil. He's on the road to hell, right? He's going to lose his office, and as Christ says... What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? So I'd say to Mr. Harris, you're going to have to face God someday, and you won't be minister.
Well, I don't know whether he's a Christian, and I'm not too sure actually whether Simon Harris believes in God or not. But I mean, the idea that you would suggest to other people who may not believe in God—I don't know whether Simon Harris does or not—that they're going to meet their maker or go to hell probably doesn't mean a huge amount to them because they don't believe in religion in the first place. But do me a favor, all of you, if you can, Charles, Aoife, and Karen, yes, sorry. If you could stay there for a second, because I have to take a break, and if you could stay with me, because I just have somebody who wants to come on and talk to all of you, because you all have a very similar opinion. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Some of the text coming in, no matter what you call it, it's a human life form, and that's a fact. Ken and Nace, sorry, I can't talk on the air. Another person does not allow them to introduce exclusion zones for protests. And the first location that it will be put in will be Kildare Street in Dublin, around the Dáil. This is what they want, Paddy and Clare. So Paddy and Clare is basically saying, if we introduce legislation somehow, and we can find a loophole in the Constitution to allow exclusion zones, the next thing that will happen is the government will introduce exclusion zones around the Dáil, so you won't be able to protest against anything. And I understand the point he's making, and that's why I'm going to say that I disagree with exclusion zones, generally speaking. Not just because of this conversation, because I believe that we're heading down a very rocky road when you stop people having the right to protest. Stay there for a second, please, Karen and Charles. Let me just go to Niall. You're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Niall?
Hiya.
Niall, are you in favour of exclusion zones?
Yes. I see. The problem is it's been done horribly wrong. We don't have clinics or anything to... abortion clinics, unfortunately.
No.
Which we should. But it's also, you know, where they're protesting, it's it's horrible because the people come in and out of the hospitals, and especially for women who have miscarriages and everything.
And I understand, the insensitivity of that, and I do. There's no doubt that I think even underneath it all, Charles does accept that people are in very difficult circumstances. Even, you know, Karen said the same thing too. But
yes,
saying that, you know, what about your constitutional right to protest? Are we taking away
the right to protest? I'm all for that. They have freedom of speech. That's fine. But it's, you know, when you're talking about uncivilized behaviour.
But what's uncivilized about it?
Yes, going around with coffins, children's coffins and everything, that's very uncivilized.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible. And look, I've no problem with what he wants to believe in and what his religion is. We all have, there's many religions in Ireland, and no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to... there's nothing wrong with the with protesting itself, but it's just the way it's set up, and I think it's best if there was exclusion zones just for the sake of people going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And any riots breaking out or anything.
There's been a few of these vigils or protests, and I haven't seen any riots breaking out or anything like that. They seem to be a peaceful bunch of people. But in saying that, their messages, you know, and I know Charles doesn't carry these banners, but there have been people, we know, with messages saying abortion is murder and all this kind of stuff. That can be deemed as insensitive.
It's only a matter of time that somebody throws a punch, to be honest with you. Because, like, I've even heard on the radio before that they were talking about this, and some... poor guy has gone through, his wife has gone through so many miscarriages.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were on their fourth.
Yeah.
And even one has a tumour. One of them has a tumour.
I can imagine how he would feel coming out and seeing that.
He said he was lucky not to throw a punch at one.
I mean, Charles, are you still there, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been listening to what Niall says, you know, and it's only a matter of time before somebody takes offence to it. And
we have been physically assaulted on New Year's Day. Somebody was assaulted. We received multiple death threats, and the Gardaí has been made aware of these.
I'm not justifying those. Can you understand?
Do not see that, you know, you're putting. Not only are you putting. Other people in danger, but you're putting yourself in danger. So
we see, this is the country we're living in now, where you can't even voice an objection.
Hang on. In fairness, Charles, you can. You said you've got death threats. Look, I the job I do here, I've been verbally abused online. I've got death threats. I had to get onto the police as well there last year at one stage when we had threats from myself and Alina by an individual from Cork. But in saying that, you know, I understand and I accept that with my job and the freedom that I have to speak on the radio comes a level of responsibility. So you have to accept that with your freedom to speak and your freedom to protest, there is a level of responsibility that some people may take it the wrong way.
Yeah, well, that's the terrible thing about it.
Look, you can see around the world that the left is becoming increasingly intolerant. They've moved beyond democracy now. They thought maybe democracy will get them where they want to be. They've moved beyond that now, and it's become dangerous to have an alternative view. We are facing a totalitarian regime in this country and around the world. It's very obvious.
We have the right to protest. There's nothing wrong with you protesting.
Well, Niall, if the minister has his way and, you know, the Attorney General goes along with it, they won't have the right to protest.
No, and we'll see that taken away.
Is that
exclusion zones at certain stages, all right?
Sorry, Karen, you're trying to say something?
Yeah. I would be curious to see, actually, because I don't think this is to do with where the protests are taking place, because they are very peaceful, Charles, and they're very peaceful. And yes, they are praying, and I agree with that. You know, I don't think you have to stand in a certain place to pray about it, but Charles has decided to do that. If these protests were in the middle of O'Connell Street, I guarantee you there would be people saying, close them down, stop it.
Yep.
It's not to do with where they are. It's the fact that people are standing there telling the truth and other people don't like it. It could happen anywhere and people will still say, close them down, get rid of them. It's not to do it where it is. That's part of it. They're using that as an excuse, which is why I think they should protest Charles. I really think up O'Connell Street, where you will see far more young people and you can get that message out there to far more people.
But there has been pro-life rallies even since the referendum.
Oh, I know. I know that, and they're fantastic. Yeah. But I'm talking about people standing there in a peaceful village vigil because, you know, Charles, and they seem to be there quite a lot, which is admirable. But I think the location...
carrying coffins is a peaceful vigil, though.
Or admirable.
I don't agree with the coffins. No, I carried a coffin out of Hollis Street, so I don't agree with that, no. But I guarantee you, if it was in the middle of O'Connell Street or anywhere, people will still want to close the town. There's nothing, and people would be calling on Simon Harris, get rid of this, get rid of this.
I've never heard anybody wanting to close them down. All people want are just asking just to move them so they can...
Well, I mean, in fairness, Niall, I don't believe that pro-life got a fair crack of the whip when it came to the referendum, because anytime I've watched it on media, I see people who would have a view like Charles. I don't agree with Charles, by the way. I don't agree with his, you know, his form of protest, but I do believe he has a right to do it. I don't believe in his views on God, but I do believe he has a right to hold those views. But I did see during that referendum anybody who was pro-life being referred to as Bible bashers, mental cases, you know, taking away my choice, all this. They were shut down.
Even religious zealots. People shouldn't be called. Not everybody who is pro-life is religious. So it's just great. There are plenty of people who are atheists or non-believers or whatever. And they're, you know, pro-life. So you cannot say everyone is a religious zealot. And even if they are, like, you know, so what if you have a religion? So what? What's the big deal?
Yeah, but you know, people seem to think there's something. Protesting. It's where they are. Well,
okay, stay there for a second, because I want to go to Anne as well. Sorry, this has gone on a bit longer than I thought. But Anne, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Anne?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. You had an abortion yourself.
I did many
years ago.
In
the UK, I assume.
Yes.
Okay.
This country was very different then, Niall, and I came from a very small village, and you didn't see people pushing prams, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My mother put me on a plane and sent me to England. I had a brother in England, a twin.
Yep.
And I got information that at the time I couldn't get from this country.
Yeah, of course.
Even the doctors.
So it was illegal to sell a book that even included abortion in it. Yes.
Yes. So
how old were you at the time, by the way?
I was 21. My father had just died about 6 months when I found I was pregnant.
Right, okay.
And then I married within a very short time, maybe a year and a half afterwards. Not because of love, but again, because I was pregnant. And I married when I was 3 months pregnant.
Okay.
And I had my son. He's 28 now. He's a lovely boy. But I always thought God would take him from me. And I always thought, you know, what the Bible said, basically, an eye for an eye.
Yeah.
And it was hard, and I used to watch him all the time. But when he was 6 weeks old, imagine, so to tell you how green I was, I fell pregnant again.
Right, okay.
And I had my daughter. She was at 8 months. And she was 3.5 pounds. But she died after 8 days.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And the hardest thing, I couldn't do it, my mother did it, was to dress her. But to bring a white coffin out of a hospital with a baby that's dead is the hardest thing anyone has to do.
I couldn't even imagine how difficult that would be, yeah.
And thanks to God I had a daughter afterwards. But the point is, you have two things to look at. It's either lawfully wrong, which is not now in this country, but morally wrong. And my God, Niall, I regret all of that decision. But I had no choice. That's the truth. And people that are saying that it's okay to put a white coffin outside and return to the hospital. What is wrong with people? What about their souls and their conscience? I'm sorry, but that's how I feel.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. And that must have been a very difficult time for you. And do you often think about it? Do you often say, oh...
Oh, Jesus, Niall, excuse my language. I think about her all the time. That's the truth.
And do you know what her date of birth would have been?
No.
Okay.
I have to be honest. It's okay. So long ago, I don't.
Because I often hear people who've had an abortion say, well, the date of birth would have been kind of September or whatever, and I always think about it around that time, that it would have been a birthday or whatever.
But I think about my baby that died.
Mm-hmm.
And I do often think, especially on her birthday, when she was born and her death, and I think of the baby that I did have an abortion. And I tell you...
And how many weeks, sorry, were you pregnant again? How many weeks when you had the abortion?
Oh, I don't know, Niall. I'll be honest.
Okay.
I genuinely don't know.
Okay, it was a long time ago, I understand.
I never forget the hospital. It was mainly Irish girls.
Yep.
And we had blue kind of gowns on us. And we were lined up. The only way to explain it is like cattle, one behind the other, next, next, next. It's not a nice experience by any means. And I do believe that Simon Harris does have a right to not let women that are having an abortion in the same hospital that women... babies are dying. It's wrong. He needs to get a grasp of something.
Totally agreed. Yeah,
I think a lot of people have said the same thing. But getting back to Charles, who organised the vigils. Charles, I mean, you listen to Anne there, you know, and okay, but both she had an abortion and she also unfortunately lost a child as well, and had to carry a little white coffin at some point in her life, and how difficult that was. I mean, listening to it, you know, essentially, you know, from a woman who had to do that, surely that makes you rethink that maybe the coffins is a bad idea, Charles.
Like, it's very sad. Any person who loses a child, it's a tragedy. I'm sorry to hear that story. I'm sorry for her. And, it's a terrible thing. And the last thing we want, you know, is those kind of tragedies. But we have to remember as well that there are untold tragedies happening in this country every day. A classroom of children, 30 or more, every single day, wiped out for no reason. And
unborn babies, yes.
Yeah, but they're still human beings, and if they have their own unique DNA and their own unique soul. They never have been in the world before. Who knows what they would say?
Charles, I'm not going to disagree with you on the point of principle, but I'm asking you about...
If we weren't trying to save lives, then,
can I say one thing?
Yeah.
When I got married, you could not go to the doctor for contraceptive. It was just a no-no. Because this was a Catholic country, true and true. I had to travel 40 miles to a family planning clinic so I could get contraceptive after I lost my baby. It was a different era. And people that have abortions, for whatever reason, my God, it's the hardest thing they have to do. But putting a white coffin...
I would say to any woman, consider an abortion. Consider, you'll never get to look into that child's eyes. You'll never get to hear the first word.
She knows the first step. Yeah, but she's accepting that. She knows that.
It's such an unnecessary tragedy. There is no good sense to it. And, we need to get back to the sense of family life, family.
Losing a baby through no fault of your own is also equally as tragic. If not more, because it's not a choice.
We can't avoid. But these are tragedies we can avoid. We can stop them. There's no need for them.
You can stop them, Charles.
You know?
Life was different then, Charles.
And life is not more chaotic now. Are people really happier now?
Hold on, Charles. Hold on a minute, okay? Having a baby isn't just about giving birth. You have to think of your circumstances. And I'll be honest, if my daughter that died had Down syndrome or something, there is no way I would have coped with that.
But there are many loving families who want to adopt.
Yeah, I know, but the point she's making is, at the time, all those years ago, we wouldn't have had the support services that we would have now.
I honestly think there were lots of great families and great people at that time. I think there's a caricature of our past.
that the people seem to the media has painted this picture of the gloomy 50s and how terrible everything was.
Well, it was in certain aspects of life were quite gloomy. It was a different, very different world. Morally, it was a very different world anyway, in respect to that. But let's move forward to now. And the point she's making is that many women are coming in and out of that hospital with very tragic news to no fault of their own, not to a choice, Charles.
Exactly.
All they're asking is for you to have some level of sensitivity to their issues. I mean, if you want to, you know, protest against those who have abortions, that's fine. But maybe, you know, leave out the coffins and, you know, some of the posters that might have, you know, insensitive.
The coffins are actually very innocuous. It's very few people pass by. I mean, it has a little candle and a small coffin. It's not something that people would even see unless they were looking for it. It's you know, it's more about the prayer anyway.
I don't agree with you. Sorry now.
Look, the point is...
Hang on very quickly, because I think Karen wants to say something there. Sorry, Karen.
I'm sorry, Anne, for what you had to go through. I had to carry a coffin out of Hollis Street, and no, it's not nice.
Yeah, and he, like Charles said, well, it's only a small coffin. Well, believe me, my daughter's white coffin was only a small coffin.
Yes.
And I think it's insensitive, and I think that everyone, as Niall said.
Just very quickly, let's let Karen finish, because I need to wrap this up. Sorry, Karen.
I'm sorry, Niall. I'm just Anne was saying about support or whatever. She didn't have support then. Now we have the HSE options line that women can ring. But they're actually... I don't know why it's called options, because they aren't really options. There isn't support given. There are plenty of women who would love to keep their babies, but they're actually not given support. And in fact...
We're a year and a half, a year and a bit down the road from when the referendum finished, and we still don't have free contraception.
That should be in the first... No, I mean, talk about the
cart before the horse.
Like, seriously. That should have been the first thing that was brought in.
Here's the thing, by the way, Charles, and I'm going to throw this question at you, and I have a funny feeling I know what the answer is going to be, but do you agree with free contraception?
No, I don't. I don't think contraception is morally justifiable.
It's the devil's work, is it?
Contraception.
Charles, I'm with you a certain amount of the way, because, you know, I have morals, and I understand the point you make in relation to abortion, all right? And I'm willing to admit that, and I'm happy to admit that. I would never judge somebody, by the way, but, you know, it's not something for me, or, you know, not that I would ever want to have an abortion because I'm a man. But in saying that, if we want to avoid a situation where people make morally the wrong decision, as far as you're concerned, surely the best option then would be contraception.
Again, look,
even the Catholic Church accepts contraception.
There's no point in me telling you.
You said you're a Catholic. The Catholic Church accepts contraception.
But let me explain. Like, you can't. This is too deep of an issue to give one answer in one line.
Stop, Charles. Come on.
You
have to be a little bit flexible in your views.
If you want me to answer, if you want to understand my point of view,
go on. Let me understand.
I'll be quicker. I'll get to it quicker. Look. Basically, it comes down to the idea that the sexual act, that its primary function is the procreation of children. Okay, and the secondary
that's your view.
Function
that's
is
your view.
The,
yeah.
Well, this is you asked me my view.
I completely disagree. Which, as far as I'm concerned, the sexual act is pleasurable, but however.
Yeah. Yeah. We see as soon as that becomes the primary act,
is that filthy? Is
becoming
it?
An act of
that's
love?
It, that's like something. That's like something that the Catholic Church would have said 40 years ago in this country.
Because I want. Pleasure.
When I fell pregnant,
rather than I want, I ask.
So you don't have, so you don't have sex for pleasure? Is that what you're telling me?
It's not the primary function of sex.
I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, do you not have sex for pleasure? No.
When we consider sex as a past,
I'm asking you a question, Charles.
Abortion will follow.
Charles, you're not a young man. Have you ever had sex for pleasure?
This is a highly inappropriate question.
It's not a highly inappropriate question. We're discussing the matter on the air. Have you ever had sex for pleasure?
I
you're not a young man.
I'm not going to discuss such things.
So have you only ever had sex for procreation,
Charles?
Well,
if you want to talk about issues...
Can I ask you, have you ever had sex?
Well,
it's relevant to the conversation we're having. Have you ever had sex?
It's highly inappropriate question.
It's not a highly inappropriate question.
It is, and this is the problem.
No, we're talking about contraception.
We've no modesty, and there's no modesty of language.
Okay, Karen, have you ever had sex?
So open about everything.
Yes.
Okay, and you clearly have had sex. All right, okay. Charles, I'm asking you an honest question. It's very appropriate in the conversation we're having at the moment in relation to what you've just said, that you said that sex is only, well, primary function is procreation. Have you ever had sex in your life?
This is a completely inappropriate question.
No, it's not an inappropriate. I've had loads of sex. I actually only had the other night. It's great.
This is the problem. This is infantile kind of question.
It's not infantile. The point I'm trying to make, Charles, is are you telling me, are we going back to the 1920s where the Catholic Church and the nuns gave out to young girls for sitting on young boys' laps in case they got pregnant? I mean, that's what this kind of starting to sound like. I agreed with a lot of what you said tonight, and I understand, and morally I think we come from the same place, but if we're going to be ridiculous about it, well then, you know, we're going to get nowhere.
I'll have a discussion.
Sorry,
and we're discussing
issues,
right? Can I just say,
between a married couple, God gave sex for pleasure. There is nothing wrong with that.
The primary function of sex is the reproduction of the species.
God gave sex to married couples
for
pleasure.
Yes, that's what happened at Adam and Eve.
Well, then you told me at the start of the show you'd no children, so I assume then you've never had sex in your life.
It's a reproduction of people. It's obviously that. It's the same as food. Why do we have pleasure associated with
food? No, food is necessary. Sex is not.
We die.
Food is not. We don't die if we don't have sex, by the way. I'm just, you know.
As a second.
You can't put sex and food into the same analogy.
Because food feeds the body. We will die without food. The human species would die without sex because
you wouldn't personally die if you didn't have sex.
Therefore, God places a pleasure with that to, if you like, aid things along. Because
Charles, are you going to answer the question, which I believe is appropriate because it's the conversation we're having? You told me at the start of the show you didn't have any children. So if the primary function is to have children, and that's what the purpose of having sex is, I assume that you've never had sex.
Look, this is a ridiculous question.
I refuse to answer. Okay, well, you can refuse to answer if you want to, but I'm just asking you. I believe it's a relevant question.
I'm not going to get into my personal life, okay? Whether I'm an absolute saint, which I'm not, or whatever. I'm not going to talk about anything.
But you understand how hypocritical you're sounding then? Because on the one hand, you're saying, I disagree with abortion, which I'm not going to completely disagree with you on, morally. But on the other hand, you then disagree with contraception and free contraception for women, which would avoid the necessity to have an abortion in the first place.
Contraception is pushed by all Planned Parenthood and all the abortion, because they know that if you increase...
Forget about Planned Parenthood, we're talking about Ireland.
You'll increase abortions.
Yeah, we're not in America, we're in Ireland.
No, but I'm just saying... Contraception actually doesn't reduce abortion.
Yes, it does. There was a great bit of research done in Washington State, and as far as I know, that reduced abortions by 60 or 75%.
Look, abortion is... contraception...
The introduction of free contraception in most states in America reduced drastically the amount of abortions.
Look, you can...
That's not lies. That's a fact.
Look...
It's a fact.
The reality is, when we treat human beings as playthings that we can abuse and then discard...
Hold on for a second. You know, I treat my partner as a plaything. She treats me as a plaything sometimes, but we don't abuse each other. We have sex.
An idea of responsibility. That the people say, I'm going to be with you.
There's nothing irresponsible about having sex.
Casual sex. Outside of a commitment...
No, hang on. I'm talking about in a committed relationship, there's nothing irresponsible about having sex for pleasure.
There's nothing... Well,
in a committed relationship.
In a committed... Well, how committed? You know, what if a baby comes along? Am I committed or am I not?
Well, no baby will come along if you're using contraception.
Never. No contraception method is 100%.
The likes of the coil is kind of 99% successful.
Look,
accidents generally don't really happen.
You see, this is it. Just straight away, now a baby is an accident.
An accident did happen, you know, that just my personal view, I wouldn't be having an abortion, but somebody else might choose to. That's their choice. But the point I'm making is, Charles, that you're not even willing to give people that choice. to use contraception. So you, there's no win-win really with you at all, is there?
Okay, and look,
and you're going against your own teachings, by the way, because the Pope himself, the Vatican, actually approved contraception.
Well, that's another discussion, isn't it?
Like, it's your own little. You've cut off on a little bit of a tangent now, haven't you?
The Pope is a shepherd. He can't make up things, so he's not the arbiter of truth.
Is he the Pope, or is he the second coming of the devil or something? Because some people have said that before, that he's the Antichrist. I know there are certain people who believe that he's the Antichrist.
The strange things happening. That's another, again, you could spend hours talking about that stuff.
Karen, do you want to say anything quickly before I wrap this up, before I lose my head?
I just want to say, I know where you're coming from, I get where you're coming from, and the praying, I think, can be done anywhere. What I would suggest, because I actually, New Year's Day last year, there was a group of us gathered outside the rotunda. We stood there literally with candles. It was only a handful. And we just had candles. And we just stood there. No graphic images. No coffins. Just candles. Candles can be for aborted babies, babies who are miscarried, babies who died full term, whatever. Just candles. That can mean anything. I think it would be a nicer idea.
I
know where you're coming from, Charles. I'm as heartbroken over as you are. But
we know that in the rotunda there's at least one late-term abortion every day, and the nurses are getting annoyed.
We're getting some feedback from some of these people. Yeah, no, I know how many are taking place. 800 to 900 abortions per month are taking.
Apparently, we can't really get rid of the bodies in some of the places.
Again, we can have a longer discussion in relation, and I'm sure there will be figures released over the next month or two of the first year of legalised abortion in this country. I would hope the figures will be released, and we'll see if they match up to what was predicted in the first place by either pro-life or pro-choice in relation to that. But Charles, I'm absolutely lost. I'm happy to give airtime to everybody, and you know, and most people will agree that I've been probably one of the only ones before the referendum to give equal airtime, if not more, to pro-life. So in saying that, I am completely lost, Charles. When you're coming on and telling me you don't agree with abortion, but you also don't agree with contraception, which prevent abortions in the first place. That just blows my mind.
It all comes down to the idea that sex is not a recreational act.
It is in my gaff.
And this family is destroyed.
Once it becomes a recreational act,
the family life, family, which is the bedrock of our society,
was to have sex for procreation, I'd probably have thousands of kids. Now, obviously, with the one person. Do you know what I mean? And most people would be the same, Charles. Look at the families people used to have in this country going back years ago. You know, 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 kids. And, you know, half of them would be dead by the time they get to 10 years of age because we just couldn't manage it.
And, well, they managed then. And,
they didn't. And they died.
They died.
It wasn't very good for women. Families. It wasn't very healthy for women.
There was a woman around the corner for me where I used to live in Edenmore, and she'd 18 kids. The woman was only in her 50s. She must have been permanently pregnant, the poor woman.
18 blessings, like 18 wonderful people were born into the world. Like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, but that was then. That was in the 1960s. You don't see that happening now because...
There's 11 on my mother's side. Every single one is an individual. They're all amazing people.
I have three children. They're the most wonderful human beings in the world. And you're right, they are a blessing, if that's what you want to call it, all right?
It's
wonderful.
It's a mystery. Every life is a mystery.
Yeah, but
how can we say, no, we don't want them?
I'm not saying I don't want, of course I want my children, and I love them to bits, and I would never change them for the world, or I never regret ever having them. But the point is, I'm trying to say to you, Charles, people like to have sex too for recreational purposes. Well, as long as they're in a committed relationship. I agree with you.
I would argue that they're not even in a committed relationship. Look, that seems like something that there's no price tag for, but somebody gets hurt. There's always going to be somebody gets hurt. It's not free.
Who gets hurt?
Well, one or other party generally is used.
If you're in a committed relationship and you're having good sex, what's wrong with that?
How committed? Why can't they get married?
Let's say if you're married and you're having good sex on a regular basis, what's wrong with that?
I never said that married people can't do that.
Can they use contraception?
Again, you change the act. The act now becomes like...
I'm asking you, can married people in a committed relationship use contraception?
Look...
Are you going to say no, Charles, are you?
Yeah, they can't use contraception, no.
Jesus Christ.
Charles, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you cannot use contraception.
No.
There's nowhere in the Bible says you cannot use contraception.
People use contraception before condoms or the coil or the pill was available. People use methods of contraception. The rhythm method, for example, was used before contraception was available. That was a method of contraception.
Look,
and that was okay. They did that in Christian times and, you know, 2,000 years ago.
The reality is, you know, without the belief in Christ, in the idea of...
You know nothing about Christ. You know nothing about Christ, Charles. You only know what's written about him.
I know nothing of Christ, like...
No, you know, well, we only know what's written about him.
New Testament, have you read any of them?
To be fair, now, all of us only know what's written
exactly,
about him.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So I don't know. I'm sure he was a good guy. I don't even know whether... I mean, you believe he existed, and obviously Karen does, and that's fine. I accept that you believe it. I looked at the historical points of view. I may not believe it, but even if he did exist, who's to say? There's a lot of stuff...
Name one person who has had more influence on the world, in the history of the world, that we know of. Can
Steve
you name
Jobs,
anyone else?
Probably.
Huh?
Steve Jobs.
Really? Really? Do you honestly think that he's had more influence
yeah.
on the art,
yeah, Bill
the
Gates.
Literature, the culture yeah. that we've had over
two Look at the world. Look at the world we live in. Okay, look at the world we live in now. Look at the world we live in now. You're talking to me on a radio station using a mobile phone. Yeah. We communicate through mobile phones, through social media. The world relies on social media. The mobile phone as we know it, the smartphone, was developed by Steve Jobs. Everybody in the world possesses one. Not everybody in the world is religious.
Mm.
So I think he's probably had more influence on the world than anybody.
Well, I think it's you have to look on a more deep level.
I am looking at it very deeply. Different people have different... I mean, you can go right back, you know, musically, the Beatles, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson. All these people have a huge influence on the world. There are a lot of people who had huge influences on the world.
Yeah, but you need to look back even further, like Palestrina and all the wonderful composers.
Absolutely.
Like
go back to pagan times if you want, to some of the gods. They had a huge influence on the world at the time, but we're living in a different time now.
Well, if you look at this little baby born in a stable, no room at the inn.
Yeah, okay, but and that little baby we know very little about until he was a man. I mean, we don't know what he did in his teenage years. Maybe he had a good time and maybe he was born again Christian, so to speak. Maybe he did. We don't know. Are you suggesting to me you know everything about this person, Jesus Christ? I don't know everything about him, and neither do you.
We will never know everything about him.
Okay, so the point I'm trying to get to is we don't know that maybe at some point in his life he may have had sex and enjoyed it.
That's a blasphemy. And
there's no such thing as blasphemy anymore. We voted it out in the last referendum.
Christ.
There's no such thing as blasphemy.
That's highly disrespectful. Right?
Why are you quoting laws that don't even exist for now?
Blasphemy is a repugnant act against our Creator.
Well, there's no such law.
There's no
well,
such
there
law.
Is nothing to say that...
The divine
Jesus.
Law.
There's what's wrong with me suggesting that Jesus might have had a life, if the man existed, might have had a life outside of what was written in the book? What's wrong with suggesting that? That's blasphemy, is it?
To say... Look, I find your comments very, very highly disrespectful about...
What's wrong with... No. I find your comments really disrespectful. For a man who is fighting for freedom of speech and then tells me what I can and can't say, I find your comments disrespectful, Charles.
Well, that's fine, you know.
So you want freedom of speech on your terms? Is that the way it works, is it? So I can't have a view. I said earlier on...
I wouldn't speak disrespectfully about your parents or anyone.
I'm not talking about your parents.
Know.
I wouldn't do so. I don't speak about your parents.
I don't want him to be disrespected. That's so
Charles, I said to you earlier on,
I
respect your right to hold a view. I respect your right to have a religious view. I don't have to respect your God. I don't have to. There's no law that says
too.
I must respect your God.
Well, he's your God too.
He's not my God. I don't believe in God.
Well, you don't have to believe God.
I respect Karen's right to believe in God. I think she believes in God. I respect her right to believe in God and I respect her view. But I don't have to respect her God or your God for that matter. And I asked you a fair question. And the fair question is that you don't know what Jesus' life, if indeed he existed, what his life was like outside of what was written in the Bible.
Well,
and you won't accept that. And you now tell me that I'm not even allowed to say that because that's
example,
blasphemy.
And that's what I asked you not to, you know.
Blaspheme. I'm a blasphemer.
Look, can we not just have a respectful conversation?
Well, we were having a respectful conversation until
and
you and by the way,
know
the conversation was very respectful. You went down the road of telling us that we shouldn't even have contraception.
Sorry?
The conversation was very respectful, and I was agreeing with a lot of what you said and defending your right to say it, by the way, until you went down the road to tell him we shouldn't even have contraception.
Would you want to go back to the Stone Age? A lot of people would be dishonest, and they would say, oh, they would.
And then you want to take part in a debate, and then you start telling me what questions I can and can't ask you.
No, I just asked you not to say that about Christ, okay?
I'm talking about before that, when I asked you, have you ever had sex?
Yeah, again, I keep this for a respectful conversation about
issues. I believe that's respectful.
These are just puerile questions.
They're not puerile, they're very relevant. Relevant.
No, they're not.
Karen, do you believe it's relevant to ask somebody if they ever engage in sexual activity when we're talking about contraception on a radio station?
I'm not sure about that one, to be honest with you. I don't think it's anyone's business. I mean, I think it could be asked differently, you know?
How would I ask that differently?
Do you believe in having sex if you're not in a relationship, if you're not married? I think would be...
Well, I know Charles' answer to that would be no, yes.
Because that's where he's coming from. He does not believe you can't have sex within if you're not married. And that's fine. I respect that. But, you know, I don't think to ask somebody maybe on air, it's a bit, you know, I mean, certain people, you know with Charles that...
Charles basically said that you can't have sex for enjoyment or pleasure. It's purely for procreation. That was the primary purpose of it. So I think it was fair to ask a question, have you ever had sex?
Well, fair enough, yeah, I suppose, yeah. Have you ever had sex? Yes, of course, yeah. Mm. Yeah, but for, you know...
Are you a Catholic or a Christian?
No,
are you Christian. So you're just a Christian?
I was brought up Catholic.
Okay, all right.
And I actually did an Alpha course years ago. And, was very involved in the Catholic Church, that basically the Catholic Church kind of changes its views sometimes on things, and it's not biblical. So some of it's biblical, obviously, but not all of it. And like, I don't think you can change the word of God, you know, all the time, and the Pope is infallible and blah, blah, and
Do you believe in Vatican II? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I don't.
Because I know there are people out there who believe the Pope is the Antichrist, Christians who believe the Pope is the Antichrist.
The Antichrist, you know, I think there's many Antichrists out there, let's face it,
I think a lot of them believe the last Pope was actually Pope Pius.
I'm not like a Bible thumping Christian, but I do believe in, and I believe Jesus died for my sins. I mean, the devil believes in God, so it's no point in just saying I believe in God doesn't mean necessarily follows him, you know.
A lot of people are texting in saying, for example, Kenan A says, of course Jesus wasn't perfect when he was in human form. No form is perfect. If it was, it would last forever.
So, of course, he came in human form. So he obviously
did human things.
Yeah, he was tempted. So he was, you know, like, got hungry, probably, you know, but of course, because he was human, he had to have done those things. If he acted on them, that's a different thing. And I don't believe he did.
It's hard for us to say, is that we don't know. I think it's fair to question it. Although Charles doesn't believe I should be allowed to question it. He believes that's blasphemy.
Oh no, you see, I think everyone, we should be able to have an open debate about anything and everything, free speech for everything. I might not agree with...
Charles agrees with free speech on his terms. Anything questioning Jesus or God is blasphemy.
No, I think it's actually very healthy to question. I think we should all be able to have these debates. And I actually do want to, girls said earlier, you actually, to be fair... You are the only one who will allow these debates on air, because with the abortion thing, like, you know, I had phoned many radio stations, messaged in, and sure, nobody would listen. They didn't want to know. So I thank you.
Well, I hope you were on here before the referendum. I hope you had a chat with us at some point. I think you may have had. I don't know.
I didn't, because I actually didn't.
But I think many people did anyway. Well, Karen, it's lovely to talk to you. I have to wrap things up. I'm sorry, I'm running out of time. And Charles, listen. Yeah, Charles, I appreciate you staying on the air as long as you did tonight. And I think I agreed with a lot of what you said, Charles. And by the way, I don't agree with your right to be taken away to have a vigil or a protest. I would ask you to be a little bit more sensitive in relation to the coffins. In relation to your blasphemy accusation, I believe I'm just entitled to question things as much as you are.
Well, look, I appreciate your discussion, and it's good to be able to, you know, to have a discussion. And, you know, I would just say that it's difficult to have a proper discussion, you know, in such a short space of time about so many things, you know.
Right. Okay, but I'd abolish the word blasphemy for your language. It's gone, Charles, by the way. You do realise blasphemy is gone. We got rid of it in the last referendum.
Look, I'm talking about blasphemy, like as not as a law of the land, but a law of God that we must respect.
Well, I say to you, I respect you, and I expect your right to believe in God, but you can't demand that I believe in God.
Because I pray someday you will.
okay, then.
You know, he's your father too.
We go around in circles on that one. Listen, thanks very much, Charles. I appreciate you coming on the air. All right, okay, thanks very much.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.